The new man you received at the moment that you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And he is the new nature. He's called the new nature, the new man, and the new law. And if you don't get enough material out of Romans chapter 6, you always can go over to Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, which deals with the same thing in different, looking at it from a slightly different point of view, but dealing with the fact that there is a war within us, a conflict. And so we talked about the believer's experience a couple of weeks ago. And we looked at the fact that our relationship to the old sin nature is we must accept the fact that we have it. We can't get rid of it, but we don't have to obey it. And so in chapter 6, when you look at chapter verse 11, it says, "Likewise also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Verse 13, "Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God," or "yield yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Now, this body is not the enemy. The old sin nature dwells within this body. The new nature dwells within this body. The new nature is formed in you by the Holy Spirit. The moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, whenever that was, God's Holy Spirit came to indwell. Now, up until the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came to and alongside people at God's bidding. He was with them. Now, you say, how do you know that? Well, I read it. John chapter 14, and I think it's verse 16. It says, "The Holy Spirit has been with you, but he shall be," future tense, "in you." Up until that time, the Holy Spirit was not in Peter or John or James or Philip or Nathaniel or any of those fellows. He was with them, but when Jesus went back to heaven, he said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down in a very visible way on all of that 120 people that had been gathered in the upper room praying for the last 10 days. Jesus went up on the 40th day after resurrection. On the 50th day after Passover was the day of Pentecost. And Jews from all over had to be gathered in Jerusalem. It was the law. And so there were 15 different languages represented in that crowd that heard Peter preach on the day of Pentecost. And when Peter preached, they believed, and the Lord added to the church that day 3,000 souls. And from that moment on, every time a person got saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. Now, no, you did not see flames of fire dancing on your head. They did that day. That was a unique sign, but that was a birthday. This sister over here announced that she has a new great-grandbaby, and she's rejoicing. That baby will never look like it did when it was born. A few hours later, it did not look like it did when it came out of the womb. A few weeks later, it will not look like it does tonight. A year from now, it will not look like it does tonight. Why? Because of the growing process. And everyone in this room started out as a newborn baby somewhere. But you sure don't look like that now, do you? You're adults. You're grown up. Some of us have grown up and grown old. Well, spiritually, that's what God wants us to be doing. When we were born again, we received God's Holy Spirit. He came to dwell within us and formed this new man in us. And so the conflict goes on. I'm going to jump through a couple of points here. I want to get to that one that says, make no provision for the flesh. Now, how do you make provision for the flesh? By what you take into your eyes. By what you take into your minds. And sometimes by what you take into your mouth. You make provision for the flesh. Now there the word flesh has nothing to do with your body. But it has everything to do with the old sin nature. The flesh is used to speak of the old sin nature. How do you feed it? By what you read, by what you watch, by what you listen to, by what you imbibe, by who you hang out with. And the great worry, and I've had this discussion with many people, the great worry is that so-and-so is going back to hang out with his old friends or her old friends. You know what that means? They may not have been saved, but if they were saved, they're not going to grow in grace and knowledge doing that. They're going to be trapped into yielding to the old sin nature again. And we have to do all that we can by prayer and scolding and tugging and begging to get them away from their former relationships and help them to develop new friendships. And sometimes we have to take these young people under our wing. I am so thrilled the way the men of our church latched on to that young fella. The first time he walked in that door on a Wednesday night. And it was the old people in our church that grabbed onto him first, but some of the young people had finally caught on. Hey, here's a guy that needs our attention and our friendship. And I'm so thrilled for the way our church has responded to him. And he ended up back in a hospital last night. I think Pastor Scott mentioned it this morning to you. And he's back home again, but you need to be praying for him. Following that heart surgery, he's having a lot of chest pain right now. So pray for that young fella. Keep him on your prayer list. And whenever he walks in the door, encourage him and speak to him. Go out of your way to say hi to this young guy. Now, tonight I want you to remember, we're not to make provision for the flesh. So what are we to do? Look up on the screen there. It says, we're to starve it. We're to starve it. Now, if you want to look at that verse, it's over there in chapter 13, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the new man. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. That's the old man. Do you see the conflict in that verse? Now, you is the understood. The word you is not there, but it's understood. You make no provision for the flesh. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you is neither one of them. And I've said this before. You are the one who decides which way to go. You're the one who flips the switch back and forth. And hopefully you always keep the switch flipped in the favor of the Holy Spirit and the new man that's in you. Now, over in Colossians chapter 3, it tells us to mortify these things. And I said to you quickly, and I want to make you think about it in a little more detail, if you'll turn to Colossians 3, we are to put to death these desires, these sinful desires. Now, how do you do that? Well, we're going to look at that in just a moment in a little more detail from 1 Peter 2. But first of all, I want you to look over at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Now, my New King James translation left out the word mortify. And here's what it says. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Now, the things that it lists are not members. They are the result of using your body in the wrong way. Look at them. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And then it lists all the things you can do with your body. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. See, you used to be a sinner. You used to live in that kind of wickedness. You say, oh no, I was a good girl. Ever since I was a little kid, I was a good guy. I never got into any of that stuff. Liar. You may not have done it, but it went through here, didn't it? Listen, I lived in a neighborhood with sinners. I went to school with sinners. I went to church with sinners. I worked in IBM while I was in Bible school with some of the rottenest guys I'd ever met from Harper College back then, and now it's Binghamton University. I learned things that I thought I already knew all the bad stuff, but I heard more and saw more. Listen, it's there. But you and I are not to act it out. We are not to act out fornication and uncleanness. We're not to act out evil desire and covetousness and idolatry. And down in verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge. Ooh, there's an important word, isn't it? Knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. Mortify the flesh. I don't have that up there, do I? All right. What was the first one? Accept God's estimate of us. That was A. B was make no provision for the flesh. C was mortify the flesh. D is never try to improve it. Go back to Romans 6, verse 13. You cannot improve the old sin nature. You can put a tuxedo on it. You can spit shine the shoes and put on all of the right regalia. But you know what? It's still the old sin nature, isn't it? Verse 13. Do not yield or present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But present or yield yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments. So how am I to use my hands? Produce righteousness. How am I to use my mouth? Produce righteousness. How am I to listen? We're to listen to the right things. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Remember? Whatsoever things is of good report and pure and virtuous and all of that stuff. Think on these things. It's what you think on. What goes on in your mind is so critical, important here. Go down to verse 19. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness, that kind of relates to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 and 9. But now present your members as slaves to righteousness, for holiness, I did a series on Wednesday night in prayer meeting Bible study on our holiness. We are to live holy, personal holiness. Now, we don't think about that word very often in relating to ourselves. We say, God is holy. God says, you be holy. Wow, you expect me to be like you, God? Well, God is inside of you, isn't he? If you let God, who's inside of you, God the Holy Spirit, have control of your heart and your mind and your thoughts, you will present holiness. But if you let the old sin nature, who is connected to Satan, control your life, what are you going to produce? Sin, wickedness, unrighteousness. And then E, put it off. And there, as we saw in Ephesians chapter 4 and over in Ephesians chapter 5, we're to put off the old man like a dirty old coat or a ragged old clothes. We put them off and we put on all these new things which bespeak of God's righteousness, righteous clothing. Now, I'm not talking about your fabric that you're wearing tonight. Talking about spiritual things here, obviously. We're to put on the new man. Acts chapter 7, verse 15. Keep your finger here. We keep coming back to Romans 6. But Acts chapter 7. Stephen, do you remember Stephen? He's laying down his life. Acts chapter 7, Stephen has just finished giving a historical account from Abraham all the way up to Jesus Christ. And when he brings it all down to Jesus Christ, these guys went ballistic. He's defending his position as a new Christian, being a Jew also. And now he's a Christian, and he's quoting the Old Testament. And he says in verse 51 now, he's talking to scribes and Pharisees and priests. Verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those that foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut into the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Have you ever been so mad that your teeth chattered? And you wanted to chew on the person you hated so much. Can you picture that? These guys all go wild against Stephen and they want to literally kill him with their teeth. They gnashed at him with their teeth, it says. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he said that, he fell asleep. If ever there was a verse to prove that sleep and death are one and the same thing, because it gets used that way in, by Paul quite a bit. Sleep and death. This verse certainly tells you that. Here's a man who laid down his life physically for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to stand up for what is true, even if it means you get ostracized by your family? And your friends dump you? If you start living for Jesus, you don't have to get rid of the old friends. They'll take off. And hopefully, if you go to church, there'll be a new group of friends that come massing around you and encourage you and helping you, as some of these guys in our church have for this new young guy. One of our brothers and I were in a business the other day, run by a Jewish man. And this brother of mine, who's in church tonight, gave testimony and gave credit to Jesus Christ. And that Jewish guy, he literally got angry. He said, "You know I'm a Jew, and you have no right talking to me that way." All he did was give Jesus Christ credit for saving his life. I've been around Jews a lot in my life. I never saw a Jew react the way this particular gentleman did. And you don't need to know who it is, but you can start praying for that guy. He's no youngster, and he needs to know that Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He said, "If Jesus was the Messiah, like you say, then why is the world in such a mess?" And I spoke up and I said, "Because he came the first time to save us from our sins. He's coming the next time to rule and reign over this earth in righteousness and peace." And that was all I got to say. But you can pray for that man. You don't need to know who he is or who was with me. But I just never saw a Jewish person react the way he did. And sometimes when we give our testimony, you're going to get a violent reaction. Now, what is our responsibility? I rushed through this 2 weeks ago, and I really want to stop and go through it step by step. First of all, in relation to the new nature, you and I are to reckon ourselves to be alive in Jesus Christ. We are alive in Christ. Can you tell yourself that? I'm alive in Jesus Christ. Let's say it together. I'm alive in Jesus Christ. And you might need to remind yourself of that every so often. That's verse 11. Remember, likewise also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then secondly, we are to walk in newness of life. We read that in the earlier verses of chapter 6. We're to walk in newness of life. Now you know that I use this passage at every baptism service that we have. And by the way, there's a baptism service coming up on the 15th. Of July, which is also quarterly business meeting night. And right now I only have one young man, a teenager, who's asked me to baptize him. I'm happily surprised at who the young man is. He's not here tonight. But I would love to have some company for that young man. If you've never been baptized by immersion, whether you're young or old, and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, then I encourage you tonight to plan on getting baptized when we do that on July the 15th. So keep that in your mind. It'll be the last time that I get to baptize anyone here. And so I'm looking forward to that particular opportunity that night. All right, walk in newness of life. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, which I use this passage for water baptism, but I know that Paul is using it for spirit baptism. The Holy Spirit baptizes us just like the water in that tank is going to baptize that teenager. But who is the one who puts that teenager in the water? Me. Who is the one that puts you into the family of God? Jesus Christ. He uses the Holy Spirit to baptize you. But Jesus puts you into his family. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13, if you want the biblical basis for what I just said. But notice this, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then there's C, feed and nourish the new man. Feed and nourish the new man. How in the world do we feed and nourish the new man? We talked at the beginning about how you can nourish the old sin nature. But how do we nourish the new nature? And turn with me over to 1 Peter 2:2. You got it up there on the screen. If you didn't hear what I just said, 1 Peter 2:2. First Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Newborn babies don't desire the sincere milk of the word, they desire the sincere milk of mommy. But just as babies desire that nourishment, you and I are to desire spiritual nourishment. Now, how do we do that? Well, first of all, we need to read the Word of God. Now, some of you that are tech savvy and you have smartphones, which are smarter than most of us, we'll never learn how to use all the features on these crazy things. But one thing you can do is download a Bible app. And there are a lot of them free. They're not costing you anything, but you can download a Bible app. And some of them, if you get the right one, they'll even read the scripture for you. So you can sit there and you can watch the words as it's being read to you. Now, one that I just put on my phone or had Joe Langton put on my phone for me, is the one that is read by McLean. Can't remember his first name. Reads it nice and slow. Now, my wife and I use one put out by the Gideons, and that is dramatized. That uses different voices for different people, and that moves right along quite quickly. So there are many opportunities out there to have God's word read to you out loud. They don't cost anything if you get the right ones. And you can follow along if you're not a good reader or you're not sure how to pronounce words. These things are beautiful for that because they're pronouncing the words and you're just following along with your eyes. And you're seeing it with your eyes and you're hearing it with your ears and you're getting God's word into your heart. Now, you move up the next level is what? 2 Timothy 2:15. You're waiting for me to push the button. Before I do, tell me what it is. What's 2 Timothy 2:15, everybody? Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I explained to you 2 weeks ago two different ways in which the word dividing is used. And then after that, start teaching. Nothing will make you study and scramble more than being given a Sunday school class or being given an Awana opportunity to work with our Awana kids. Then you say, I got to learn what's going on here. I got to do some studying. And you begin to share it. It doubles the effort. I mean, it doubles the impact upon your life. And then, of course, God wants us to memorize his word. Memorize. I do not do a good job of memorization. I do it by osmosis because I keep quoting it and preaching on it and reading it and sharing, and it kind of begins to stick in my mind. And But we need to memorize God's word. And then we need to practice. In relation to the new nature, what are we to do? We're to put on the new man. We need to practice the word of God. We need to practice the things that we learn in Scripture. We need to practice living the way of the Spirit. And finally, and I'm going to share just a couple of minutes looking at these verses, we need to depend upon the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit's power. You remember Acts 1:8? Just before Jesus is caught up into heaven, what does he say? Acts 1:8, many of you have it memorized. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. Remember that verse? What was the first part? Ye shall receive power. That's the word. Ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30. Do not grieve this Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Excuse me, is it natural to forgive? No. Is it spiritual to forgive? Yes. It takes the Holy Spirit working in you to give you the heart to forgive someone that's done you dirt, someone that's said unkind things to you, someone that's ripped you off, and it might be a family member. And it takes a lot of spiritual work to be able to forgive that person. Even if they don't ask for forgiveness, you and I have to be in the attitude of forgiving. So that when they come finally and say, you know, I did such and such to you and I'm sorry, will you forgive me? You say, I already did. You are forgiven. What did Stephen say as he was dying? Lay not to them the charge of their sins. And he died. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you know what they were doing? They were killing Jesus. But you know what they were doing? They were providing, they didn't know it, they were providing the means of salvation for the billions of people that were born and will be born on this earth till the end of the kingdom age. Jesus paid it all to him we owe. Sin had left its guilty stain. He washed it white as snow. Very quickly, chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places or heavenlies. And then, just for the fun of it, let's go to the Old Testament as we close. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. And he answered and he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. You say, who in the world was Zerubbabel? Well, if you can say it, that's okay. If you can't, that's okay. Zerubbabel. However you want to pronounce it. Who was he? He was the guy who led back the first group of returning exiles after the 70-year exile in Babylon. And he led the first group that went back. Ezra led the second group that went back. And Nehemiah kind of led the third group that came back from captivity to settle Israel, to build their homes again around Jerusalem, and then finally to build the temple in Jerusalem, and then under Nehemiah to repair all the walls and put up the gates and fortify the city of Jerusalem again against all of the wicked people around who hated the Jews coming back to their homes and back to their country and back to their properties. And so Zechariah says, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, but by the Holy Spirit, you and I live the Christian life. We win the battle of the war within. Let us pray. Eternal God, great Heavenly Father, we have reviewed, rehearsed once again all of these things from your word to help us to walk worthy of you unto all pleasing. Help us, God, to stand against the tricks of the devil. Help us to decide to follow Jesus. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing the chorus. We don't need it in the hymn book. Just sing the chorus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Chat and Chew Night. How many of you had a birthday in the month of June? Please raise your hand. One, two, three, four. Any other June births? All right. Let's sing happy birthday. Sandy, Tom.
Jane.
Oh, I missed Bruce. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, how many of you had an anniversary in June? Mrs. Baker, would you raise your hand? All right, June anniversaries. By the way, the July anniversaries in our church directory are twice as many as June. All right, we're going to sing happy anniversary. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Amen. Now, you that we sang to, the birthday people and the anniversary people, you get to go first. But before we go out, get in line, let us pray and thank the Lord for the food. Brother Tom, you do a good job at this. Would you stand up and give God thanks for the food we're going to enjoy?
Father, we thank you so much again for your word and what we heard today, and for the, showing us so much, Father, what you do for us. And supplying the way, Lord, for us to get out of that sin and to stay out of it if we stay in your word. And Lord, we just praise you for what you did. We thank you, Lord, for this food that we're about to partake of. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon it. Make it strength and nourishment. And just give us great fellowship. fellowship around each other and around you. Pray to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good night. God bless you. And I didn't get to say Maranatha this morning, so let's say Maranatha. Maranatha. And if you don't know what Maranatha means, it says, the Lord cometh.